What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hey, everybody. I want to start out just by saying, like, Daryl, are you still exhausted from New York City or have you recovered yet?
I have not recovered, Jen, and I don't know if I will ever recover from New York City and Vision Expo.
We had the most fun at Vision Expo, and we're going all in about Vision Expo on today's podcast, kind of wrapping up our experience because we saw some of the hottest spring trends and looking forward into fall trends while we were there, not to mention catching up on some of the great new technology coming out in eye care. And as optometrists, we have a certain perspective, but we still don't get the whole show because we're not opticians. So we brought someone that's an expert in that field on. Welcome to the show, Drew Diaz.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Well, Drew, we want to get to know you. So tell us about yourself and your background as an optician.
So I'm what I would call your typical optician. I'm not one of these people who came from a long line of opticians or, you know, a lot of people, you know, their grandparents were opticians. I actually went to school for music. I had no intentions of being an optician when I got out of school. And afterwards, I worked a few dead end jobs, you know, like a lot of people do, kind of fell hard on my luck, lost my job. It was kind of crazy, actually. A friend of mine actually worked for Walmart and got me a job there because I needed one. The manager for the Vision Center actually approached me my very first day training and asked me if I wanted to work in the Vision Center. And I said, okay, sure, why not? I know nothing about eyes. I know nothing about any of this stuff. And I said, no big deal. You know, we can train you. And I feel like a lot of people go through this, after my first day, really, like, I was immediately in love. I just fell in love with the whole industry, and I just was nose in the books. The very next year, I took the NOCE from the ABO, and that was 13 years ago. And in my profession, I've worked in many different aspects of the retail side of opticianry. I've been an optician, like stylist. I've done finishing lab. I've been an optometric tech, all the way up to management, which is what I do now. And as far as that, you know, that's pretty much my background in opticianry. I also, you know, I've done quite a few other things. You know, I also founded the DC Opticians Association. I'm trying to get more active more recently with the Vision Council and a couple other things. So it's a great industry.
Wow, Drew, man, it seems like you've done pretty much everything there is possible to do in life. Forget just the eye care industry. But I really love this concept of having like a music background and then jumping into the eye care world. Because one thing that I hate, and I'm pretty sure that you probably don't like this as well, is I always see entertainers, musicians in particular, wear glasses that do not fit them. Do you ever experience that or see that? And does it drive you crazy like it drives me?
It does, actually. And, you know, I have we have a running joke, if you will, with some of my optician friends. And we just like pull up pictures of a bunch of celebrities who are wearing things. Who just like, oh my gosh, if only I was there. I wish I was there to fit you because that's just not working for you. Oh my goodness.
Well, I know it's one of those things, like you said, even within optometrists, I feel like those diverse backgrounds, what is this industry? It's relating to people, talking to people, telling stories. And so that's why people that have these well-rounded backgrounds really love and grab hold of this profession, this industry. So I think it's like you bring something that's uniquely you to this profession, and that's why you've been so successful at it.
Absolutely. Jen, I think you hit the nail on the head. When it comes to having a diverse background, it can really change your overall perception of the optometric industry. And also when you're dealing with patients on a day-to-day basis and even with the employees that are within the organization. One thing that I also think that really has an impact on how successful you are in the industry is the type of conference and which conference you go to. Drew, why is Vision Expo so important to you?
Vision Expo is really important to me for a couple of reasons. I think Vision Expo has found a way to really kind of neatly balance the whole thing. Do everything you need to do in one place. You know, new technologies and everything like that. You know, I actually myself had a few instances where something I didn't even know of just kind of hit me in the face. And I was like, oh my goodness, I need this in my life.
What were some of your biggest takeaways from this year's Vision Expo?
So, you know, this year's Vision Expo was really successful for me. I think there's a huge push for independence. And I know independents have been kind of on the up and up for some years now. But I think that especially with, you know, so many mergers and all these things happening, there's a real strong push for the independent and also to create stories. I think this is one thing I brought away from Vision Expo. Everyone's really taking a step back and thinking about who they are as a business, as a brand, or what have you, and what their story is, and trying to convey that to people. So I felt like that was kind of an overarching theme through a lot of what I experienced at Vision Expo. Of course, there was, you know, smaller things, but I think that in terms of just that kind of big picture, that's really the main thing I brought away from it.
Are you planning on doing any sort of rebranding or brand building as a result of that experience?
Interestingly enough, yes. So my organization that I recently just started, actually just last year, I am doing some rebranding. I wouldn't call it rebranding. It's more like, you know, initial branding. And I did bring away a few things from that. I think that a few of the vendors that I saw there really helped me shape where I wanted to go with this organization in particular. And one of the things I actually really love doing is because each year is a little different, I do love just kind of like wandering around a little bit. I used to have really strict schedules at Vision Expo, and I used to see this, I see that, see this, see this. And then what I found over the years is that it's good to have kind of schedule, a loose schedule, and then leave some time to kind of walk around, because again, every year is different. It feels a little different. And this year was great because when I was walking around, I get a sense of that, again, that branding, that identity. And it made me really kind of think about where I wanted to go with this organization. And even, you know, because I am a manager at a retail practice, where I could, what I could do in terms of suggestions for the practice as well.
So yeah, that's one thing I wanted to touch on, you know, being that you are a manager of a practice, you know, us as optometrists, when we go to these conferences, we're looking out pretty much for ourselves. But as an office manager, what is it that you like to see your optometrist or your eye doctor in your office actually bring back to help make the office stronger, or work together or more cohesively?
So one of the things that I found about working with optometrists, and I've worked with many optometrists and some really fantastic optometrists, and the thing that I found is that the optometrists that kind of that approach, I don't want to say management, but approach, you know, owning a practice, if you do own a practice, in a way that kind of relates to their staff, tends to be a little bit more successful. In that regard, for instance, you know, optometrists who go and, you know, of course, and do classes and things like that, it's great. But optometrists who are also looking at latest trends, you know, who are looking at the actual like workings of what opticians do every day. And, you know, in fact, optometrists who bring their opticians with them and kind of let their opticians lead for a little bit and say, okay, this is where I need to go, this is where I need to look at, et cetera, et cetera. I found that that's a little bit more successful, mainly because if an optometrist can relate to their opticians, then everyone's a little bit happier.
I think each person on the staff needs to have some sort of personal buy-in. And with opticians, of course, the frames, the eyewear, that sort of stuff, like let them have an opinion, give them some empowerment to control their part of the business, if you will. I love that aspect of it. Something that I feel like where I work, they do a great job. Our frame buyer, his name is Barry Jackson. He makes all the purchasing decisions on what frames we're bringing in. He's an optician, and we kind of know like, hey, this is your expertise. This is your specialty. You show us what you think is going to work best. And that kind of partnership is just so essential to a great eye care business. I totally agree with you.
And plus, I mean, your optical staff, your eyewear consultants, all those guys are on ground. They're the ones that are actually sitting down dealing with the patients day in and day out. So it's only right for those guys to truly make that decision in regards to what's needed for the practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Daryl, did you have any big takeaways from this year's Vision Expo East of things you saw or things you want to implement in your new practice in Nigeria?
Well, with me, it was actually more of colleague to colleague. I've always known that networking was a big thing, but this year, it really hit me how important networking is. And as you know, Jen, we had a lot of opportunities because of this past Vision Expo, and it seems like Defocus Media is going to get bigger and bigger. But for me, it was more networking. In regards to a practice standpoint, you know, just that independent eyewear story, you know, carrying those brands, pushing a story, storytelling, that type of jazz in general. I mean, it's very important to propel your practice and also keep patients loyal to the practice as well.
Yeah. And I mean, just to piggyback off of your networking thing, and it's a good thing you brought it up, because it's actually one thing I wanted to talk about. When I first started going to Vision Expo years ago, I was going for education, you know, because I was kind of new into the industry and everything like that. Then it was for the frame lines and everything like that. And what I found more recently is that networking has become a huge, huge component of why I go to Vision Expo. I say this all the time, and maybe it's a little cliche, you know, in any industry, including this one, you know, it's partly what you know, but it's definitely who you know. And so, you know, I found that building that networking base really helps. And yes, you know, I think a lot of people consider, you know, other people, oh, you're my competitor, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that we're a pretty tight knit community. And I know in DC where I am, you know, everyone knows everyone, and we're really, really, really tight knit. and we help each other out and everything. So I think that's super important that we network and share ideas and try to bring the industry as itself, like, kind of higher.
I agree. I think there's a community shift as generations are changing within eye care, where we might have 10 people here all practicing in one small town, but we, instead of seeing ourselves as direct competitors, we kind of all want each other to be successful because we all are private practice optometrists. So there's a cohesiveness and, like, group success that maybe has never existed in our industry before as external factors have come in.
Yeah, agreed. Definitely.
So how instrumental has Vision Expo's programming and resources helped to shape and mold your optometric career?
It has been, for me personally, because I'll talk about this, me personally, it's been so important, basically, to my career advancement. And it's because I'm meeting new people all the time, and you get to meet people that you never thought you'd meet, to be honest, you know. And maybe if we talk to people on the outside, they wouldn't understand why you get so excited. But, you know, there's those few kind of optical rock stars, you know, that you get to meet. I mean, on my end, it would be people like Fernell Walker or
Fernell. He's the man, like, master optician. He'll preach it. He's like the guy when it comes to anything optician related.
Yeah, exactly. You know, things like that, you know, Duro Meister when he was still alive, things like that. For me, it's given me a lot of opportunities. But in terms of, like, young professionals, in terms of how it's shaped Vision Expo, I think it's a fantastic thing that they've done with young professionals, because millennials, which encompasses quite a big portion of the population, I think it's smart to have younger people really driving the direction of Vision Expo and the industry in general. And that's not to exclude anyone in particular, but these are going to be the people making up majority of the industry and consumers. So having those voices really being the driving force behind Vision Expo.
Well, we can't talk about Vision Expo without talking about the fashion component of it. And so I want to hear what you thought was, like, your biggest eyewear fashion moment or fashion takeaway of Vision Expo East.
So, you know, every year I look at the eyewear and trends and stuff like that. And I'm one that kind of views fashion in two veins. I follow fashion trends, but then I also follow lines that kind of have that identity that works over trends and generations and all these things like that. So I kind of separate them a little bit. Interestingly enough, I am a huge proponent of clear frames and those, like, champagne colors and things like that. I have been, actually, for the last 10 years. And I remember back in 2008 or 2009, and I was saying, this is going to be big. These clear frames are going to be huge. And everyone just kind of looked at me like, yeah, okay, they're okay. We're looking or whatever. And then here we are. And I guess so. There's a moment of vindication for me from that standpoint. But no, I mean, I really like that a lot of designers and manufacturers are really going a lot of different directions. I mean, you've seen, there are a couple times when I had to actually stop on the show floor and go, oh my God, that's insane, that's amazing, you know. And the trends and how they're kind of referential, and they're bringing up, you know, those late 80s, early 90s trends, you know. And as someone, you know, who grew up in the 90s, you know, late 80s, early 90s, like, it's a little bit weird to me, but at the same time, kind of cool to see how people get really, really kind of excited about it. And there's something kind of, I don't know, warm and fuzzy about it, you know, seeing, oh, I wore that frame, you know, 15 years ago and it's cool now. But yeah, you know, I always really, really enjoy seeing where these lines are going in terms of trend. And I really appreciate when lines do something completely different, you know.
I'm glad you mentioned the translucence, because to me, that I'm all about that right now. A really soft translucent pink, a champagne color, clear or white with a little bit of gold accents. I think there's so many different ways to wear these, like, soft pastel kind of translucent frames. And I think we're going to see that go really blow up this year.
Agreed. And, you know, it maybe a while ago it wasn't super in fashion, but now having a gold, you know, metal inlaid with plastic, whether it's clear or champagne or like a frosted kind of thing. Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful and so kind of like elegant looking, but kind of really trendy at the same time. It's just so cool. And I'm really happy that something like that's trending.
So Drew, what's your top designers that you always have to see when you go to Vision Expo?
So I'm huge into independents. Obviously I go because, you know, we carry a number of the independents in our store, but I tend to run a certain way. So Etnia Barcelona is one of the lines that I usually run for. They've been around for longer than a lot of people think. And they actually, and the owner of the company is around our age. So that's something I found really, really cool. But the line tends to, you know, do really interesting things with colors and textures. So Fusion Eyewear also has a number of lines. And one of the lines that we carry is a line called Yoko Onyake. And it's a line that they play around with colors really nicely. I mean, if you couldn't tell, I'm a big into color and fun stuff, but they play around with colors really nicely. I really enjoy a lot of the stuff that they put out. Really nice metals and everything like that. There's so many lines that just come to my mind immediately. It's so hard for me to decide just one, you know? Yeah, I mean, like, you know, actually, a good one I would have to say is Parasite. And that's, yes, Parasite. I love this line. And this is good for people who want something that's really kind of out there. The line itself isn't super chunky. It's a French line, and it's mostly metals, but they have some crazy, crazy things. And I don't go there to order for our store because I don't think that people would buy it. But I just love just going there and looking at what they've come up with next. They have shields. They have, you know, goggles. They have things that people probably wouldn't be caught dead in the street with, but you would love to see it on a runway. It's just insane.
So this is where you would shop for like your own personal eyewear, huh?
Oh yeah. I mean, yes, I actually own two pairs and I've never actually carried it in wherever I've worked. So I found a way to find them. I actually was in Hong Kong once and I saw a pair in there and I was like, oh, I don't care. I have to buy it.
So how many pieces of eyewear do you own?
Oh my goodness. I don't even know, to be honest. If I had a guesstimate, honestly, I would probably say maybe 40 to 50 pieces.
Wow, that is amazing.
And what's your favorite piece out of all of these? Is it the Parasite piece or is it another brand?
Oh, you know, that's a tough one. I have maybe four or five Etnias that I love, mainly because they're super bright. So the thing is, like, I tend to shop for different, you know, moods, if you will. I'm actually wearing one of the Etnias right now. You can't see it, but I am. But the Parasite has to be, yeah, I have two Parasites, and that has to be one of my favorite pairs, absolutely.
I read this horrible statistic the other day. It got published in the most recent edition of 2020 magazine, and only 1% of the adult U.S. population has more than four pairs of glasses on rotation. And so, like, it's probably just the three of us sitting here, and that's it.
Well, you know, I actually, you know, I say this sometimes to the patients that I help, and I say, you know, I said, you know, those are nice shoes that you're wearing, you know, and I said that, you know, that's,
yep.
How many pairs of shoes? First off, I say, you know, how often do you wear your shoes? Well, every day, of course, you know, and how many pairs of shoes do you have? Oh my goodness, let me tell you, my closet is full to the brim. Okay, and how many pairs of glasses do you have? Oh, you know, one, of course, just one. And how often do you wear your glasses? Well, every day. And so this is the kind of connection I try to make. You know, yes, some people look at it in a very utilitarian way, in the same way as shoes. You know, there are people who have one, two pairs of shoes, you know, but I always say, you know, this is a part of your identity. When people see you, for instance, if you walk out into public and people see you without your glasses, and if you're used to wearing glasses, they go, oh, something's different about you. So the glasses become kind of a part of your identity. And I think that if we can kind of convey that, then people will be more likely to say, oh yeah, this is definitely a part of my identity and becomes an accessory to my face, basically.
Drew, I agree with you 100%, man. And I'm so glad that you said that because I preach that all day at all our lectures online to patients, whoever that actually listens to me. But yeah, you should have multiple pairs of glasses. I mean, you have to combine a combination of both fashion and function. And I use that shoe example for women and for men. I always say, hey, you know what? You have shoes for church, shoes for work, and shoes for painting the town red. And the same thing with eyewear, depending on whatever activity or whatever function you may have, you need a pair of glasses for, you know? So I'm with you 100%. For the fellas, sometimes I may use the watch example also.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like how many watches do you have? Exactly.
Well, Drew, thank you so much for your insight. I know that as a regular at Vision Expo, this is just one of many of your trips that's going to happen. I can't wait to see all those translucent and pale plastic frames walking out of the office this spring. And every time I do, I'm going to be like, Drew, he was ahead of this 10 years ago.
And every time I see a Parasite sight frame, you're going to be the first person that I think of as well, Drew.
Awesome.
So I want to throw in a little bonus material on this podcast today, because Daryl and I, when we were at Vision Expo, I got the chance to sit in on a fashion show presented by iCare Business, where they previewed the biggest spring and summer 2018 trends. Like, these are fresh trends right off the runways of New York, and how that's going to affect the eye care industry going forward into the season. But Daryl didn't get a chance to sit in on that session. So I was thinking, like, Daryl, maybe I could give you what the trends were and hear your hot takes.
Yeah, Jen, you can. You don't have to rub it in. I was in CE course trying to further my profession and learn more about our industry, as far as, I think I was learning about diabetes at that time. But yeah, let's hear it. I want to see what I missed out on, Jen.
Yeah, this was a big miss for you. let's start ladies first, if you don't mind. I just feel like it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. Ladies are always first, Jen.
All right. So the biggest trend, I don't know if iCare Business presented it this way, actually, but it's their first number one trend. And to me, this is the biggest trend of the season for women. They call it ethereal twist. It's all about whites and ivories, delicate details, lace, this kind of airy bohemian kind of style. What's your take on that?
Oh, I like that. I could see that on my wife. It's something about it that just radiates sexiness. I don't know. It's just something that I like, especially when you start talking about lace. So I'm all about that.
I really think it looks quite fresh right now. White eyewear, ivory eyewear. I know Drew was talking about translucence earlier. To me, that is the look for the season, and you cannot go wrong with that with ladies' eyewear.
What's next, Jen?
So they're calling this trend logo lovin'. And you know how in the 90s, I mean, you just had logos smeared all over everything. So in eyewear, same thing. We're kind of seeing this throwback to big logos across the temples or across the frame. What's your thought?
Oh, man. I was all about the 90s until I heard that. I'm not a fan of putting logos on everything. You know, I think only two brands do that well, Gucci and as well as MCM. But I don't like logos on everything. I think that's why I like more of your independent eyewear designers. So what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I'm with you. I think it kind of flies in the face of the trends we're seeing across the industry, where this embracing independent eyewear and these underground designers, and to have logos of these big fashion house brands all over everything. That's kind of what I've been actively avoiding in shopping for my own optical and for my own eyewear myself. So not feeling this one.
Yeah. Even my clothes, I don't have logos on. No one ever knows what I'm wearing unless they pick up my clothes and look at the tag. But I will never advertise anyone's brand on my body. I did that when I was younger, maybe in the 90s, but not now.
Hey, that's a good way of looking at it. And I think maybe that's why it's not going to pan out. We're all so really aware of our own personal brands now in the world. And so I think there may never be a true embracing of like smearing other people's brands all over your body again. Good thought, Daryl, on that. Next trend up is fiercely floral. And florals have been in for a long time now when it comes to women. But iCare Business is talking about florals have gone a little bit different way, more drama, maybe some darker undertones. So instead of pastels, think more of like your deep burgundies and deep purples and dark blues. And of course, you know, patterns of florals or like floral details on the eyewear. What are your thoughts?
Well, for me as a man, no way. For women, absolutely. I think this is something that's quite amazing. I recall on my online store, we have some frames that actually have the floral imprint within the frames. And I believe it's either Philip Lim or Matthew Williamson, and they do well. And I love the wow factor that it gives and the uniqueness, because it's like, it's a different flower for every frame. So it's like, really, you only have one frame of that design in general. So I like it. What are your thoughts, Jen?
No, I like what you're talking about, because we also carry a frame line called Coco Song, where they have like individual fibers and pieces of leaves and pieces of dried flowers embedded in the acetate. And I think that looks really soft and lovely. What I'm not real into is like big oversized fake roses all over it. Like, to me, that's way too drama for what I'm wearing in my sunwear. But I know other women can really pull that off.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's something out there for everyone, you know? That's the beauty of having multiple designers and outfits out there.
This next one, they were real careful at iCare Business to say it's not, this trend isn't literally translating into optical, but how we pair it. So the trend is pretty in plaid. And so plaids are really huge for the season, I think men and women. But what's pairing with plaid and eyewear is something really architectural. So something that calls upon those straight lines or vertical lines or horizontal lines, but not necessarily plaid pattern.
I don't know about that one, Jen. That's not my cup of tea. I'm gonna have to leave that one up to you. But for me, no.
I mean, I don't like a whole bunch of like patterns on my glasses. So maybe that's just me personally. I don't know plaid glasses. But a brow bar, totally. I mean, I wear brow bars all the time. And I think that's kind of what this trend is speaking towards. If you have a lot of like metal lines, metal fine details, that pairs well with plaid clothes. And I can totally see that take. That's something that's been trending for a while now, too. So
Yeah, I like simple stuff. I don't need anything like extra. Just keep it simple, a nice solid color, the right shape. And depending on what you're wearing, I mean, you can make it look tremendously better, you know, and take it away from just having that humdrum look. But a solid color for me is just is perfect.
You know, though, I've seen one plaid pair of glasses I actually thought was cute. And that was a Fossifoss frame that they did a little while ago. But again, you have to have the right personality to pull that off. It is a bold statement to have a bunch of colors and splotches all over your glasses.
Yeah. I mean, when I think of plaid, I think of Burberry, you know.
Sure.
So it'll be hard for me to see someone else bring that out. But I think Burberry has done a wonderful job in regards to having that plaid print and the way that they style it on frames and clothes as well.
Yeah, they do a good job on that. That's true. Last trend for women, they're calling it pleasant purples because, you know, the Pantone color of the year is ultraviolet.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. iCare Business's take on it was like, I mean, ultraviolet is a strong color. This is an in-your-face kind of purple.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't really see that translating into a wearable color of frames, but maybe like that strong ultraviolet color of purple in the lenses of your sunglasses. What do you think?
I love it. You know, honestly, Jen, purple is one of my favorite colors. So this is all me. I can't wait this year to get a nice purple tint, flash tint or something like that, and maybe a little pop of purple in one of my frames. So I'm all about it.
I agree. I think a purple tinted lens, now that looks sick. I am like deathly pale and I cannot wear this strong purple color. So it makes me look like I'm going to die. So I was thrilled to hear that they didn't think like that color purple in frame was a good idea.
I like it though. I could definitely do it.
Okay, we want to get into the men's styles next because I think, I mean, it was pretty hilarious when they showed some of the runway pictures. So the first men's trend up is short shorts. Daryl, do you wear short shorts?
No way. My legs are too skinny for that and my legs are too pale. I always have on pants, but no, not at all.
So, I mean, I'm still trying to think like, I mean, I know these trends always take a couple of years to really take off, if you will, but I'm just trying to think like, are we going to really start seeing men in short shorts again? Is this going to be like a new 70s short era for men? And it's going to be really hard to see all those thighs and like, oh God.
Not for me. No way. You would not see me in that type of look at all, Jen.
I could just see you coming into the office in like a suit and tie and shorts.
Yeah, talk about looking crazy. I think my patients will probably run away from me.
Well, or run towards you. You know, you never know how this is going to go. You see a lot of women.
Yeah, that's very true. But no, I don't know. I just can't do it.
Well, so obviously like short shorts don't necessarily translate into a glasses style, but they were saying short shorts, very 70s and it's drama. And so again, these 70s male fashion, aviators, yellow colored or gold mirrored lenses, kind of that, basically the styles we're already seeing, aviators and yellows and 70s style sunglasses.
Yeah, I mean, those are cool. You know, I have a few, but you know, I'm looking for something a little different. So I'm on the fence with this one.
And yeah, I agree. Maybe we're getting a little played out on the 70s aviator style. Classic, it's wearable, but is it like the trend for the season? I feel like that was 5 years ago at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
But I mean, men, you guys don't change very much, so...
Very true.
All right, next trend up is saturated suits. So when you think about, I mean, again, you're a professional, you always dress to impress, black suit, brown suit, gray suit. They're saying what they're seeing on the runways is suits in pink and purple and orange and baby blue. What are your thoughts?
I love it. I think that's so cool. And you have the right style frame. I mean, it makes it just pop even more. So I'm all about this style. Sign me up.
So where they were saying like, what does this translate into eyewear? Where the suits are like super colorful, bright, some pastels even. They're looking at more of like dark matte colors on glasses to help make your colors that you're actually wearing on your clothes pop. So like a dark matte burnt orange or a dark matte burgundy, something that's still saturated in color, but not like a pastel. And I think that could look great. I love a matte pair of frames for men.
Yeah, I really love Matt. A lot of my frames are matte because I wear a lot of RVS eyewear, and a lot of his frames, if not all of them, have that matte finish to it. So that'll go perfect with this trend that's out right now.
Yeah. Whenever I have guys in optical trying on glasses, and let's say they have two black frames and like one's shiny and one's matte, every single time I'm like, you want the matte. Nobody wants a lot of reflections coming off of their face. And that's why we have anti-reflective coatings to make things better. It just is always a better look.
Absolutely.
So that was it. I mean, men only get two big trends.
What?
So
are you serious?
Yeah. Well, the fashion.
That's not fair.
Do you have any other male trends? Like just your personal take?
You know, honestly, Jen, I'm a man that just likes to do his own thing. I don't really pay attention to trends. If I like a frame, I get it. You know, if I like a pair or a certain style of clothes or article of clothing, I get it. I don't really follow trends at all. I mean, I follow them to educate, you know, our eye care professionals about it. But for me, I like to just do my own thing.
I mean, that is very classic of you. And you do have a strong sense of personal style. You're more like a trendsetter. I'm definitely a trend follower. So thank God I'm not a man, or I would be showing up in those short shorts.
You know what? This is what we're going to do. We're going to get your husband some of those shorts. How about that?
That's not going to happen. good try, though. All right. Well, we can't wait to see what Vision Expo West styles come in. I'm super ready after this conversation to see what's next. And the best place, of course, to figure that out would be going to Vision Expo West this fall. So everybody save the date. It's September 26th to the 29th. In Las Vegas. So there's really no excuse not to make that happen.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.